Welcome, everyone, to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Hi!
Today promises to be a very special episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's just every week.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're all special for different reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone in your different special way.
Different interpretations of special each time, too.
There you go.
I know, right?
So today we're talking about Drive episode 18, Tokyuger episode 47, the finale.
And let me, if I may, Amazon Game!
Yes, yeah, we watched Amazon.
We finally got around to watching episodes 1 to 3 of Amazon.
Game straight.
And
I liked it.
It's another show appreciation episode.
Yay.
I love doing these show appreciations.
Appreciation is a very liberal term in this sense.
Start the intro! We're live! God,
it won. Watching all the anime! Red Caster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster, Zenshi!
Actually White, Black Caster, Ranzak!
Loyal and Loud, Pink Caster, Lighten!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
I know, right?
Well, when we watch Stronger, we love the fucking shit out of
it. I appreciate the fact that I don't have to watch anymore.
I happen to love Amazon. I thought it was okay.
But anyways, we'll get into that. But before we get started, just letting everyone know that Mr. Blackcaster is beaming in through the Skypes. And also joining us via the Skypes is our number one fan, Mr. Crunchman.
Mr. Crunchy Person.
Yay. Yep. I'm back.
How are you feeling tonight?
Mr. Crunchy Person.
How are you feeling tonight, Senor Crunch?
Ready to rock.
Alrighty. Okay, so let's get right into Drive. All we need is Drive.
Just thinking that.
Because our transition is now the Seinfeld sting.
Yes, thank you, Ichi.
Fuck off, I hate that show.
No, Seinfeld's greatest show to the... Anyways.
So, this week on Drive, we meet the Judge Roid Mude, who apparently has the powers of tasers and kendo.
Because he's
a
judge, yeah. And he's awesome. I love this fucking Roid Mude so much.
Yeah, the design is... I like the design. It's pretty cool.
I'm just gonna say, when I saw a judge, and then I saw, like, another part in the episode, I already knew, like, exactly who the fuck it was. It was so obvious.
Like, wait, a police officer who knows kendo? You mean, like, half the police force over there?
Well, I never.
No, the design for Judge was silly. None of it went together.
I will admit, okay. It didn't look like your traditional judge at all, but I do like the aesthetic they put together for it.
The theme didn't make sense until the reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because looking at it as a monster, you're like,
the fuck is that?
So he's a judge with a kendo stick.
I liked him for his character.
Monster kendo stick.
An electric monster kendo stick.
I liked him for his character. I think he's an interesting concept. A Roid Mude whose main thing is, I want to go take out bad people.
Yeah.
I don't understand the name. All I can think of is the butcher, the baker, and the kendo stick maker.
It's a shinai, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But, every season has that one monster that, you know, fights villains as part of its motivation. Like there was that Yummy and O's, and
which was a grasshopper.
Yeah, and then there was...
Because, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But, in this episode we get to see Gen being unusually legit.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I love seeing Gen being actually not comic relief incompetent.
Yeah, I actually liked it also.
Yeah, as soon as he found out, like, it was named Judge or whatever, he just saw something snap in his head, and he's just like, oh, fuck! Goes off, and Shinosuke's just like, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, you were saying, Crunch?
I said, Brain went into Top Gear.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
I would have laughed if he had an actual Top Gear moment.
Just do the tie thing like Shinosuke.
Yeah. So we get introduced through flashbacks to Gen's mentor, Tachibana Shingo, who's a pretty neat gentleman.
Why is everyone named Tachibana always so cool?
And a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. We've had, like, what, three of them so far?
Yeah, there's this guy, Tachibana from Blade, and then...
Tachibana Tobe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who contacts later on in this
We're
going to
talk about him later
we
on.
We are so talking about him later in this yes. episode. Yeah.
Much like in our last show appreciation episode, Tachibana Tobe shows up again.
And speaking about characters being off of their gimmick, Go in this episode is oddly off-mark and off-putting, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
You all remember it. I love Go. Like, I think he's a great character. I've never seen him be more wrong. Like, I've never seen him be more closed-minded and wrong about things. Because, you want to give him a little context on his characterization in this episode?
Yeah, so... And this is, and keep in mind, this is after he's been all, nope, all roid mutes have to die, Chase is not worth saving, kill everyone. So, he starts aggressively chasing down the roid mute, like he always does, and because of his rashness, he ends up chasing the wrong lead. Mm-hmm. And then he gets distracted with this really weird side plot where this fanboy of Judge...
asks him to be in a tokusatsu show
Has him star in this little interview... web video series he's doing, mm-hmm. and he chants off his catchphrase, well, A, there are like 9 cameras around him catching every angle, and B, the actual guy who's filming him on this shaky-ass phone camera is like awkwardly panning across him.
Way too many cameras.
Yeah, I was about to say, surprisingly enough legit cameras. Setup, surprisingly amateurish camera work.
Yeah, Christ.
His setup looks so good, but then you see him actually behind a camera, and I'm like, what are you doing?
And then you top it all off, Kirigo chooses colorful commercial to spy on him while he's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The least subtle of shift cards.
No, but it makes sense, too, because, like, it's, like, kind of an Americanish shift car, so...
You're a Ford, go after him.
Yeah. So
if you wanted to send an American shift car, why don't you just send the one that... came back with Go.
Amazing Circus? I don't think Amazing Circus can do anything serious.
Oh, what's it gonna do? Vomit a light show again?
Yep.
They're just a follow-on. Whatever.
You're asking Amazing Circus to do something subtle. Yeah. You're asking him to... I want you to just drive behind him and make sure he doesn't see you. Giant stage?
We're asking any of the shift cars to do something subtle.
It's like, giant stage? No giant stage. But giant stage, it's what I do... Why are you talking, car?
I don't think Amazing... I maintain that I don't think Amazing Circus actually spit out the stage. I think it was just already there, and he just spit out the light show.
Still, though, the idea of asking it to do something subtle and covert is hilarious.
Again, what shift car does?
Midnight Shadow? He's a ninja.
Yeah,
kind of. It bleeped and made noise while the innocent was 5 steps away.
Ba-da-bum.
I complained about that already.
I like to think that nobody else can hear the shift cars except for those who actually know they exist.
That would be the only explanation to any of this bullcrap.
Because
honestly, I think far too many people are way too accepting for the magical Hot Wheels that just keep leading the way everywhere.
And speaking of magical Hot Wheels bullshit, the highlight of this episode is Beltsan fucking flying in like Cthulhu's spaghetti monster... bitch smacking the monster in the face with its own belt before actually flying into Shinosuke's hands.
It is the equivalent of someone being above the stage with some marionette bats and just smacking someone in the face on the stage with them.
But that's becoming more commonplace in which Beltsan just kind of shoops out of nowhere. In the same fashion as the shift cars, where he comes in and does a thing and then goes to Shinosuke. Yes, is it ridiculous? Absolutely.
Oh, God.
I'm not arguing that makes sense.
Would I come to expect it? Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know why it took 18 episodes if it's something he could do.
I just think it looks so silly because the belt is still there. Normally, it'd just be the buckle flying around smacking shit. But no, it's still got the fucking belt straps, and I'm just like, that just makes it look like a shitty marionette puppet.
I was totally ready for the whole thing where he just kept it in a sling on a sling knapsack on his back to be a regular
Hell, that's
thing.
Badass.
It was awesome.
You know what? But I liked it because I like that he can like hover around and stuff like that, because, you know, there may be a situation where, you know, Shinosuke may not think to bring Belt Sun with him, and then, you know, Krim will have to get his ass over there. And
say that, because I think I find friggin' Falcor Belt Sun a little less creepy than eerily creeps out of my backpack Belt Sun.
Yeah, just...
All I have to wonder is, if he can really, like, do all that, what's he need Shinosuke for if he can kick ass on his own? Like that.
Because he can't destroy cores.
Yeah,
fair enough.
How much damage does he really do? As I said, it's the equivalent of waving a rubber bat in someone's face. It's like, I'm gonna smack you a bit! I'm gonna smack you a bit!
You guys notice the Tridoron was completely absent from this episode?
I don't
think they can always incorporate
it. Show off that car that does things before it does something new.
Yeah. I think it's already done everything it can, or at least...
Well, until the final form shows up, which we know about already.
Yeah, true.
Yep, they've hinted about it in the toy catalogs.
Oh, okay.
And there's been pictures of it all over the place. So.
It has been silhouetted and named.
Oh, okay.
We don't actually know what it looks like yet.
You ever notice that it's funny how in Rider they, like, silhouette certain forms, but in Sentai they're like, here's the Sixth Ranger! There you fucking go!
The show hasn't even aired yet, but here's the Sixth Ranger and all of his zords.
Yeah, exactly.
To a certain degree, Rangers kind of look alike, so in a way, the silhouette would just look like another silhouetted Ranger. So they want to be able to give certain things away, like, you know, little shapes and stuff like that.
I'm still excited to see what Kamen Rider Chaser looks like.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, About this episode, it's very much a Shinosuke and Gen centric thing, because you actually get to meet Gen's old cop mentor. You get to meet the person what taught him to be a good detective.
His first partner.
His Hayase.
Yes, by the name of Tachibana. And Tachibana shows up, and he talks about, and he passes on the thing, and says, go, you've got to be the one to slap the cuffs on this guy, I can't do shit right now. And so you get to see a lot of fire in Gen that I haven't seen in a while.
And they talked about death!
A lot of his character moments have been really, really silly, where he's just like, oh, I saw the rider, he's got such and such a feature about him, or, oh, I saw Roid Mudes, and now I'm going to help fight them, and stuff like that.
I will fight the Hemorrhoid Mudes.
He's very much just that sort of guy who's running behind the riders and stuff, going, yeah, let's kick ass! Oh, you're already done. Oh, okay. Next week! This is his next week!
Yeah.
He's proactive as fuck in this episode!
Have you guys also noticed that Reina's getting stranger and stranger every episode?
I think she hit maximum strangeness the minute they revealed who she really was.
Yeah, because...
And it's just been holding constant.
I love that, like, when they encounter Judge the first time or whatever, like, Gan tries to go attack him, and then he gets, like, shocked or whatever, so then he comes back and he's like, you gotta make this blinky thingy backpack thing a lot better so it can resist his electric attacks.
And then he
turns
it into the goddamn Forza jetpack.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it works!
Yep.
But as I said, this is very much Gen's episode, and he shows a lot of his grit in this episode. Like, he's a very, very good character in this episode, and you get a lot... I've grown to like him a lot more. In fact, all of the affection that I had for Go kind of bled into Gen for this episode, because, as I said, Go's kind of a dick in this episode.
He's always kind of a dick, but whatever.
He's been a tolerable dick up until now, because for the most part he kind of looks at Shinosuke and goes, I see your point, and I get what you're doing, I'm a do me, but I respect you.
Yeah.
He's got a respect for him, but in this episode he just kind of goes, no, fuck Shinosuke's methods, that all of his slow and steady cop mentality bullshit is stupid, I'm just gonna swoop in like a superhero and beat the shit out of things.
No, yeah, Gen had a lot of balls in this. Yeah. I loved it.
But they were misplaced.
Meanwhile, the fight of the week starts up, and apparently, like, three shots from Chaser is enough to, like, fully max out Dead Heat's berserk meter, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And then Machine Chaser steals the fucking ride crosser and goes to town.
I liked that.
Yeah, I know. That was really interesting. Cool.
I liked it.
And Go was just like... Give me back my bike!
Yeah.
Oi! He nicked my bike!
Yeah, I love how Go has like a huge like.
And then he runs towards the guns like the idiot he is.
Unhinged.
Yep. Completely unhinged.
He's ballsy.
He's gonna get shot in the balls if Chaser's aim is good enough.
He's got balls of titanium. I'll give him that. He just didn't do enough in this episode to earn them.
He's got Mach speedballs.
Yes.
I think I have to name the episode that now.
Balls of speed.
Speed, speed, speed. Yeah, balls of speed, speed, speed.
So that's pretty much the episode.
No, you didn't give away the super duper ultimate chocolate twist.
We found out that Judge is the
only important character introduced this week.
Tachibana, because you see earlier that Gen's trying to approach him, and then like he does like a kendo technique, and as he's getting knocked out, he's like, technique, I know it.
And here's something that I
technique, that standard ass technique that everyone in kendo knows how to
I
do.
Was like, what's the actual, I was like, what does the person in a room who's actually studied kendo have to say about this?
Obviously it's my mentor. Only one person knows that really, really standard attack that everybody fucking dies.
I just want to say something right now about Tachibana's character for this, because it is a two, spoilers, it's a two-part episode. And we're going to see the conclusion of it next week. But let's think about one of Tachibana's only pieces of dialogue in this episode.
The fact that he told Gen that he has to arrest Judge?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think he's got remorse for what he's doing.
Maybe.
I don't think...
Or maybe this all along has been about helping Gen?
I don't think it'd go that far. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that to a certain point, maybe this case drove him a little bit nuts, and he sort of decided that vigilante justice in his case might be the only way, but he doesn't truly agree with that, so he wants Gen to be the one to put him out, because he thinks he's a better cop.
You know what I think it is? Follow me on this.
Okay.
So, we understood how he was frustrated that he could never catch Judge, the original Judge.
And he was driven by the idea that the guy who killed himself wasn't actually Judge.
Here's my train of thought on this. He may have been driven so mad by the one case he was never able to solve that his train of thought led to, if I can't catch Judge, then I will be Judge and have Gen catch me. That way, my final case can be closed.
That's a little roundabout and logicless for a person to do. But okay.
My way of going about that, and it's kind of similar to where you were going with that. He was so driven by the fact that he wanted just that guy who killed himself to not be Judge, but Judge stopped operating around the time that guy killed himself, so it really, you know, fits.
Well, we're going on the idea that he didn't actually kill himself, that someone threw him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's that. Or,
there's,
you know,
the button thing.
Yeah, but then again, my idea is on this one's basically that he wants so much for somebody else other than that guy to have been Judge, that
even if it has to be me,
created the Roid Mute.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
No, even unconsciously, even just the Roid Mute, I see that desire.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It formed a Roid Mute. That's a pretty good theory.
Yeah, pretty good.
And then
we'll see.
Dude doesn't even know that he's responsible for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all we know, the human Tachibana that we talked to in the early episode could be completely separate from the Roid Mute Tachibana, who is Judge.
Well, generally, we figure out that, well, in some cases, it's not true. But the people who get copied generally tend to get killed.
Or are working with the Roid Mood.
Yeah, as I said, there are few cases where it's not, where the people just sort of said, no, I'll go along with it. But for the most part, when a Roid Mood decides to take on the form of someone else, much like a worm, they tend to murder that person and take over their lives.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been...
I think that's just bittersweet irony that just maybe the Roid Mood just happened to take the form of someone so close to him and retain features of him. It could very still well be not him, but maybe Gen hasn't sought to finding the actual Tachibana.
Can you imagine if the Roid Mute decided to take Tachibana's form because he respected him?
Also possible.
Yeah,
I feel like the motivation behind the Roid Mutes up until this point have been varied enough that any one of these situations could be happening.
Exactly. Like, maybe he came across Tachibana one day when he was hurt or something like that and said, the person who's been hunting me down, I actually respect you. If someone who actually shares a notion of justice like I do, it's you. So, I'm taking your form. Godspeed, buddy. See you later. He doesn't seem very evil. Judge doesn't seem evil.
No, just driven.
He's just a villain because the show says he's a villain.
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't like about Drive is the fact that they're so resistant to the idea of a good Roid Mute. it's borderlining on racist.
Well, I think that's what they're setting up with Chase.
No, I understand.
Because we already know basically what's going to happen.
I know. I just don't like the fact that the protagonists are being so black and white about it. I mean,
Go is being black and white about it.
Yes, but remember, at the very beginning of the episode, someone said, what if it's a good roid mutant? Shinosuke kind of just brushed it off and said, is that even possible? Like, is that a thing? I've never seen it.
Well, that's because the experience with Chase thus far has not been helpful.
If I could make an analogy to that, I'd go with Organization 13.
Never seen a good nobody.
Led to believe that all these nobodies are terrible, bad people, and then we come across people like Axel and Roxas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
They've got bad aspirations, but that doesn't mean that every single member of the organization shares them in the exact same bad way.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyways,
just because you are a bad guy does not make you a bad guy.
Nice.
Yes.
It's badgy.
Badgy.
It's French.
So that's basically the episode. Next week we'll find out the truth behind Tachibana. And apparently we get to see Type Wild Dump using the Handleken. That's a nice combo.
We get to see what looked like multiple forms in one thing.
And now, since this will be the final time, Shippachinko!
Yay! It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm right with you, Crunchy.
Thank you.
I'm right with you. Good fucking riddance.
Good riddance.
And
Tokuger's done. 2.5 men's done. It's like the world is cleansing television for me.
Wait, 2.5 men's done?
Yes.
Huh.
So, and thus we come to the finale. Of the Power Rangers season that started with a train boner.
I was gonna say, we come to our final stop.
Kennedy Station!
Toronto joke. So, as I was starting the episode, I realized Light did the same thing to the other Tokugers that Coda did with Mai on the same train during the Gaim crossover.
Left them?
Tried to, like, cart them off for their own protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
No, this episode.
That's a thing that happens in a lot.
I'm going to say, this episode, I teared up a little. It was very feelsy.
This episode was feels as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say.
It fucking better have been!
I just have to say that despite everything that happened in the first 3 quarters of the show, I'm almost willing to forgive it for the sake of that last quarter.
Yep.
It was
the
pretty good.
The final stretch of Tokuger was actually very enjoyable.
Yeah.
In that all of the groundwork for character design was laid out, and it led for plot progression instead of character progression.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really hard to do plot progression in a Monster of the Week formula with something like Super Sentai. We see this all the time. Yes, there is such a thing as a good Super Sentai that is allowed to be consistently good, but even when a show gets bad, the endings are usually where the effort goes.
And rightly so. Is
as
someone
you
talking?
Seem to believe about Kyoryuger, whereas I cannot stand Kyoryuger, you seem convinced in telling me that it got really good at the end.
Damn butterfly mouth, that's all I gotta say.
Yeah. But I like how Akira parodies his own catchphrase right there at the start where, oh, is this another one of your places to die? No, the Rainbow Line is my place to live. Oh!
Yeah, I heard that and I'm just like, Akira, you son of a bitch!
Finally he gives up that stupid catchphrase.
For now.
Just in time for us to never hear him say it again anyways.
Until the Returns movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the that
Return movie, that thing that's gonna have that forum that didn't happen.
Oh, and I also found out if you read the text that played during the handoff at the end, apparently Tokuger Returns happens after they actually grow into those ages.
Huh.
That's cool.
So that'll be like
10 years.
What? Yeah,
Tokuger 10 years later.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're just gonna fast track the 10 years later movie.
Yeah, but
Tokuger 2115.
But yeah, so the Tokyujas are in the trains looking out into the darkness, and they spot this light, and apparently all of their eyes have really fucking amazing zoom, because they're able to notice who the light is coming from.
It's even... not like there's much else going on in that picture aside from, hey look, there's something glowing in the vast void of darkness.
No, but the point is, when you see it from their from the perspective of just behind them, there's no way to make out who that is. But then apparently their eyes turn on fucking 25 million times optical zoom.
Imagination.
I know, I should stop trying to apply logic to this fucking show by now.
They can literally do whatever they want.
Yep. That was literally the point.
Yes, that is their power. What's your power? We can do what the fuck ever.
Yeah. So they repower up the trains using the light that starts with Light's family, and eventually it leads up to them drilling the fucking train right through the terminal robo.
Oh, that was so fucking cool! Oh,
the thing from the Galaxy Line movie all over.
Damn. Yeah.
That thing that they already did in the Galaxy Line.
But it works!
Yeah. Hey,
I thought was way cooler than almost anything the Deadliner tried to pull off.
See, that's what I like. I like that when they do more shit with the train than just using the Megazord to fucking defeat it.
Tokyuger, teaching us that if there's an obstacle in your way, run a fucking train through it! Yep. It will work!
I like trains.
Stop trains. How is there?
Yeah. But, so we get the group Henshin in front of Zed, Mork, and Nero. And Tokyuichigo is red again, and we get the whole the suit morph. They say the name, and then the helmet comes on in the middle of the CG sequence, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
the way Baron and Mork went out was so bad.
Yeah, like, I felt like they deserved better.
Like, yes, the ends to the means of they wanted to kind of make it more an epic in that. Zed would be defeated were it not for their additional darkness, which, yeah, okay, that's one way to make Zed seem more over the top in as far as being end boss goes, but
I like how
it seemed really a forced, a desperate struggle of we're about to die anyway.
And I like how both of them apparently didn't equate to enough darkness at that point to even consider another form change for him. Every other injection of darkness or absorption of someone he's had up until this point triggered a form change.
Did his wings get bigger, or did I imagine
things? I don't think so.
I think it was the same suit.
I was looking at the suit, and I wasn't... I feel like it may be a palette difference as far as just the color on it, or his wings were bigger, but no, nothing...
Nothing that I noticed.
Day that changed.
Yeah. And I like how they all basically one-shotted an entire group of crows on their way over to them.
Yes, I like that they just didn't do the stereotypical, oh, we're all together again and huge morale boost. Oh, we're just going to have a quick, like, 2-minute scene of us being the shit out of all the mooks.
We're just
like,
gonna,
no, they just fucking went right through them.
We're just going to walk right through them.
I like that they just did that.
Theme song power-up, because the theme song was playing.
True. And then they did probably the coolest Hisatsu the show has ever done, setting the Yudo Breaker on the Renkids bazooka.
Yep. I thought that was great, because it's a gun that fires whatever the hell they want to fire, and they just put a weapon on
it. Why not put a sword on it?
Yep.
That was a pretty cool moment.
Bring it closer, guys, I want to stab him.
Yeah.
Why don't we just shoot him with the sword?
Akira's not really part of the Renkids.
Yeah. And, so then they all hand their powers to Light, and apparently what we thought was Tokyuichigo Light actually wasn't a thing, but he does go through all 5 colors, and then orange, and it actually said orange, which was weird, because the toy version just says Builder, but I was like, okay, that's fine, and then he triggers the rainbow form, and
it's fucking beautiful!
It's shiny. Barkley. Kira Kira as fuck.
Barkley!
Identified as ugly. I don't see anything particularly special about it, but it's definitely thematic.
I wouldn't call it ugly. It definitely, I think it did what it sought to do.
It's an improvement on Big One, as much as that kicks me in the nuts to say.
I was like, ow.
Fucking love Big One, but it, as far as a Rainbow Ranger goes, it's a Rainbow Ranger. Big One was a white ranger with a bunch of colors on it.
Yeah.
And I just sort of they gave him like a pretty green screen suit in order to make the effect of it very prismatic.
Yeah.
At least they did that, and they didn't go with something like just having one of the
rainbow color.
Oh, like making the suit actually just each of those colors?
Yeah, like just stripes running down the suit
Which is when you look at an image, it almost looks like they could have just made it out of a material that was made to look rainbowy, but no, like light refracted off of it and the color changed as he moved.
With that in mind, I'm kind of glad they did what they did. I feel like if they had cheaped out that way, it would have really ruined it.
Yeah,
no, for sure. But, so, Tokyo Ichigo Rainbow yanks out the Daikanten cannon and point-blank Zet so hard that he falls back to his first form.
No explosion! When he went out, no explosion, he just dissipated into darkness.
Yeah, this is interesting because not many Sentai do this as far as what I've seen, but they actually did not kill the final boss. They weakened him.
It's because he has to come back in the next movie as the...
Exactly. So Gritta apparently survived. I like how they give no explanation to A, what happened, and B, why he let her live.
But she just shows up out of nowhere.
She just shows up, takes him home, and they disappear into the darkness, and they're never heard of again until the Returns movie.
Yo. And they have really freaky McDonald's sex.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Because now I've just got Grimace in my head, just like, hot Japanese guy.
Oh, jeez.
Put these nuggets in your mouth. Oh,
dear. Who's the one with nuggets? Sure. I'm the one who wants the nuggets. Who's got nuggets here? Zet, obviously, but we don't know about Grilla.
Yeah.
Might have some nuggets under that dress.
She is nuggets.
Bad nuggets, because she's been left out so long, she's purple. That's not even natural.
That's not even the color it should turn.
It's natural purple chicken.
But,
if you live in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy universe, I'm sure that's commonplace.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd believe it in that universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, victory is won. The Tokyujus return home. And for a while, it looks like they're going to stay as adults. And I'm thinking, so wait, we're just going to leave them in these adult forms, depriving them of a completed childhood and of complete adolescence?
No, and then also they think that, like, oh, our families are going to recognize us because we're adults.
Apparently,
and then
your parents have really good imaginations, and they, avoided all that shit where they don't remember you.
Hooray!
Hooray, plot convenience.
We're going to stay as adults thing was a great sense of closure in that they showed each other and themselves that despite everything that happened, they were totally okay, and they want to remember all the things, and I mean, that's obvious, but it's just a matter of, it gave the audience a sense of closure of just, at least they didn't stupid cop out, not bother explaining it, and then have that resolve be that, well, no, since you've come to terms with what has happened, you may return to your childhood forms unscathed of your memories.
Yeah, which I thought
which
was...
I was totally okay with.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty sweet moment.
As you recall, the way I wanted this show to end was just...
Everyone dying.
It was all a dream.
No, it was all a child's fantasy. It was all just a bunch of kids playing in a sandbox.
Right.
That's the way I wanted to see it end. I wanted to see it just... Final battle's done. Everything's great. Fade out.
Kids, time to go home!
Exactly!
No, transition to the kids playing with Tokyujo figures.
Or just Sentai figures in general, and just have the kids be called in for dinner or something like that. I would have.
Alvin!
It would have made all of the stupid bullshit make sense. It would have fit perfectly with the childlike imagination theme. It fits nicely with the fact that they are just kids, and I think that would have made a nice twist at the end. It didn't go.
You're an asshole. Wait a minute. That's not my life.
Someone else's life is flashing before my eyes.
What's that about?
So that's pretty much the episode and the season.
That's taken everything. Even my past.
And we get to see the Tokyujur ninja handoff, which is cool.
Okay. So, of course, my entire opinion of the show has changed since the first episode where, like, as soon as we watched the first episode, I was like, oh, I love this Sentai. It might actually grow to be my favorite Sentai ever. It is not. Though, I liked it a lot. I thought it was very fun. There were a lot of silly moments, but you know what? When they explained that they were actually children, that was fine. They're children. They have a right to be fucking silly and immature.
Apparently, we're just going to go around and give our final thoughts on the show now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so. I was hoping we'd do that. So overall, I really liked it. It's not the best Sentai ever, but I still enjoyed it for what it was. The characters were cool. The villains were fucking cool.
I'll give it this.
And a really badass Sixth Ranger.
I hate to interrupt you. I will give it this. And this will pretty much just sum up the way I feel about it. It had one of the highest reaching concepts in Sentai I've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely.
It had one of the most, high-reaching concepts that I've ever seen, because the idea that they're just a bunch of kids being put through this imagination-based adolescence in order to become teenagers with attitude in order to save the world.
Yeah, as Shuken Shinobi said when with his opinion on Tokyo Jr., it's a great concept, just wasn't executed correctly.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd just say it's a little too silly for what it should be. Like, it's the execution's alright, it's just tonally, it's just a little too much.
Well, like, think about Car Ranger, like, that was all fun.
I'd like types not of silly.
To. I'd like to not think about Car Ranger, because it reminds me of Turbo, and I hate Turbo.
Let's not start that argument here.
Don't start that again.
Is that your piece, Paul?
It's more or less my piece. I generally tend to think that it's a really, really decent concept, much like Layton said, but it's just a little too silly for me.
Okay. Kevin, thoughts on Tokyuger?
I really like Akira.
Well, who doesn't?
He was one of the better characters. I felt like it wasn't so much as he received the much-needed development as he received enough development. Hands down, one of the best collectives of villains I've ever seen in a Sentai. How they were portrayed in the series is a completely different story, but if we're talking entirely aesthetic, it was easily one of the best I've ever seen.
Without question.
No matter how the characters are written, no matter how they're portrayed, no matter how the powers work, I will never enjoy the idea that they are train-based. That has always and will always be silly to me, but it is, however, shown in the, like I said, the last quarter of the show, that you can take any sort of stupid aesthetic gimmick and at least make it a little bit interesting. Yeah. Wouldn't say I loved it. I said, having had to have watched it, I feel like the end was just enough of a payoff to make the whole thing worth it. If I'm to be giving it any sort of rating, I can't give it more than a 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd give it a 7.
I just don't believe in number ratings.
Eh. Asshole.
and you don't have to.
They're too definitive, huh?
I don't know. Anyways, my thoughts on Tokyuger are pretty similar to what you guys were saying. Shadowline, best villain aesthetic of all time. Character execution got really... Pretty much every character in the show was portrayed, kind of got stale, but the difference is with Akira, he was entertaining enough that even if his character was not developing, it was entertaining enough to keep me watching. Kagura annoyed me to no end. Hikari had his great moments. Tokari had a couple of moments, and Light and Mio really did nothing I had any interest in.
I just find it silly that they have a character named Hikari and a character named Light.
No, the idea was all of their names were words that meant light.
Puns on light? Okay.
They were all, like, from different meanings of light.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the story, definitely high concept. I appreciate what they tried to do. I felt like it could have been fleshed out more, maybe. I liked that.
It never wound up being anything more than interesting.
Yeah, it never tried too hard. Mm-hmm. It established its concept and said, this is what's happening, and they kind of ran with it, and I think they did good with what they established.
But with a concept like that, you actually do need to try a little harder.
Yeah, I felt like they could have tried to do more, and maybe it would have improved.
The higher you're reaching and the more you're trying to be new, the more you actually have to step out of your old mold. Like, they were doing something really neat and new, but it's all this fucking same that we've all always done format-wise.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same format, we're just trying a new idea, and that's just another
I feel like Tokyudra's biggest failing is the lack of creativity with the Zords. Especially Tokyo. It was a disaster.
I think Tokyudra can be described as the ambition of GoBuster with the play-it-safe-ness of traditional Sentai.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because GoBuster tried really hard to be ambitious, and as far as how sales went, not necessarily how the show did, it kind of shot itself in the foot for Toei, which kind of people were very unsure about this new seeming grit that they were going for, which I still don't see. But I feel like going back to, you know, happy-go-lucky, colorful squad of best friend teenagers, a la let's take a little bit of risk, is where I see that.
Yeah.
Still, family Sentais always work.
I just sort of go, with this concept, this is where you could have done some stepping out of the box. But they chose the wrong concept to step out of the box with.
Yeah, but like you said, the final arc of the story was made the journey to it worth it, I think, in the end, but not by much. So moving forward, I've got pretty high hopes for Ninja. Raven, you want to give your opinions on Tokyudra so far?
Tokyudra sucked!
Yes.
Is that it?
God, I didn't like it.
Train Boner, Kendama Detective, Kung Fu Tower!
Yeah, I'm good. Done.
Okay, Crunchman, what do you thought?
Wow. Just, nope.
For me, I'm kind of just like, with this season. I mean, it had a lot of good spots in it. Like, there's definitely spots that made me laugh, and then there's others that made me shake my head, and, like, one episode I almost skipped, and one that I completely did skip. Most of the mechs sucked, except for Bill Dio. That one was the only one I really liked.
Yeah.
And Akira was a total badass, and the villains, like you guys said, the aesthetics were really cool. And unfortunately, the villains also were probably more interesting than most of the heroes.
Absolutely.
Except for Akira. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think out of
as a villain.
I mean, pretty much out of the main five, the most interesting was probably Hikari with the whole Kendama thing.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So that, I think, really hurt the show a lot. That they were just so bland and kind of bleh. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, like you said, the last arc of it was definitely the best part of it, but I feel like that was like too little too late. We'd been put through so much of this other stuff that the final arc didn't really like save it very much, so eh.
I feel
just
like
to kind of expand on your idea about the whole mech design thing. I know it's probably, and by probably I mean I do love the ever living crap out of Build Dio. I do, however, appreciate the creativeness of Dieselo.
Yeah.
In that, because he is an older train, they made him look like an old Showa Megazord.
Yeah.
I think whether or not the design of the Megazord itself is silly or you don't like it, but I appreciate that they paid homage to, well, it's older, isn't it? So make it look older.
Yeah, I will say Dieselo was
looking. Incredibly clever.
Yeah, I will say Dieselo was pretty decent looking compared to Tokyo, but Bill Dio still has the best design in my opinion.
Personally, I liked Tokyo just because like it isn't the best Megazord I've ever seen, but I liked it for its range of colors. It was very colorful. And it was a very simple concept, and it's what the best they could do with trains.
I respect simplicity, so I will actually say that Tokyo is passable.
I would say they've done better with trains. Just look at Magishine's train.
I'm like,
cool,
yeah!
That I was about to say, they could have done so much more with it. Like, not just have five solid lines stuck together. It's completely uncreative.
Personally, nothing right now has will beat GoBustero for me.
There have been so many other good train Megazords.
GoBustero's ugly.
Love it.
Anyways,
I don't like it. Like, that one's just no.
I feel like the best thing that can be said about Tokuger in terms of its episode development is there were less very bad episodes than there were okay episodes and up from there in terms of quality.
Mm.
I think that's the best thing we can say about it.
Mm. Yeah.
So anyways, that's Tokuger. Next week, we start Ninja.
Yeah.
And if cards play right, hopefully we will have a special guest for next week's Cast Ranger. I won't say who it is in case it doesn't happen, but very possible.
Ooh.
They are the ninjas that don't hide.
Yeah, apparently that's the motif. They're like in-your-face ninjas.
Well, they're wearing bright-ass colors.
Yeah, and that's their
catchphrase. I know, right? Paul's just giving me this look. I'm like, I know, right?
Yeah, they're like,
that's their thing.
Yeah, that their catchphrase is like, "We are the ninjas who do not, or the ninjas who do not hide."
But, the Sixth Ranger's a cowboy. What do you want?
Yeah.
That design is awesome.
I know.
Everyone loves Star Ninja. Get
a cheeseburger.
I'm buying the burger morpher.
But they're ninjas.
Of course you are.
I still love my personal idea for why he made it a damn burger.
What's that?
It's basically like, okay, he's kind of like Go, where he spent a lot of time in America, and while he was there, he fell in love with burgers and cowboys. And so he made his own powers, made his look after a cowboy, and thus this guitar star thingy. And then just for some reason, because he really loved cheeseburgers, he made this more for hamburger.
He's from Alberta.
Well, what I... exactly. This guy's going to be probably... What I'm hoping is, I kind of hope they pull a Shinken Gold, where, like, he's, like, old friends with the Red Ranger, and, like, yeah, he has this motif, and he just, like, he goes off by it. So, like, he may run a burger restaurant or some
he's
shit.
He's from Alberta!
No, he's American.
Yeah,
Canadian.
Time will tell.
True.
So,
Calgary Stampede!
Before we move on to our special topic, a couple pieces of news I wanted to share.
Yes.
So, the day that we recorded this, I finally was able to grab the Tokuger Zenkyoku Shu Rainbow Rush album.
I gotta listen to this album.
And not only does it have the Tokyo Rainbow theme that we wanted so badly, but apparently it also has a heavy metal remix of I've Been Working on the Railroad.
Fucking A.
I think they've been releasing versions of I've Been Working on the Railroad with all their albums.
Oh my, I was not ready for that.
I am okay with this.
What kind of metal is it? Is it death metal?
Hayabusa-kun rock mix?
It's almost like Hayabusa-kun level metal.
Nice. That's awesome.
I've
been working on the railroad!
Kind of. Not quite, but you'll hear it.
All the live long day!
Is there growling?
I haven't heard the whole song.
Can we just have Death Clock just do
yes.
I've Been Working on the Railroad?
Yes! Metal Sentai Death Clockger.
No! Oh, God.
Death Clocker.
It's like they're all wearing leotards and they're just like, what the fuck is this douchebag shit? I look like a fucking cack!
Yeah, this isn't metal. We should all... Why are we colors? The villain is Roxo.
They're all the Black Ranger.
Yes. All of them are the Black
just
Ranger.
Different except, levels of black.
Except, yes, blacker than the black is Black Times Infinity Ranger. Only Nathan's the Death Ranger.
Oh, there you go.
Death Ranger.
And the other bit of news that I was informed of just before we started this recording is, apparently, as of Superhero Tyson GP, Kamen Rider Shin is now, quote-unquote, a real rider, because apparently he gets a dirt bike.
Oh, goody.
Because everyone wanted Shin to get a dirt bike.
Nobody cares really about Shin.
That's the point I was making. Thank you, Ted.
Nope. We gotta watch that movie, though.
Shin oh, absolutely.
Dirt. I have it.
So do I.
That's next week's
topic. We absolutely
topic.
Are going to, at some point, riff track Shin, Zeto, and Jay.
Oh,
Zeto.
Boy.
Zeto was such a good movie.
That remains to be seen.
I think Jay's gonna be fun, because just... Giant Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, speaking of Showa.
Featured topic.
We're talking about the first three episodes of Kamen Rider Amazon.
And let me just say, I've already seen the first episode, like, before we were actually recording this and stuff. Like a year or so ago. But honestly, Amazon is my favorite show writer. I like the concept of him a great deal, because he's like Tarzan. He's like a guy who was lost in the jungle as a baby.
Not only is he Tarzan, and like Tarzan in every way, they actually reference him in the narration.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
It's like he lived in the jungle, like Tarzan.
I was like, wow, you're just being right up front about it.
Yeah. That was the 70s.
Pretty obvious.
But as we've said before, Amazon is pretty much like Kamen Rider, where Toei gave the creator of Kamen Rider free reign to do whatever the fuck he wanted. Yeah, and then it lasted 25 episodes.
Because they realized how bad of an idea that was.
You're scaring the children!
25?
And then once they took it off the air, Super Sentai got its start. Mm-hmm. So thanks to Ishinomori and making Amazon, we got Super Sentai.
Thank you, Ishinomori. Thank you so much for Tokyo Jury.
You piece of shit. We love you.
Hey, we also wouldn't have Power Rangers or Mad Rangers.
It was me. Although, if you think about it, thanks to Amazon, we discovered the entire genre because we all started with Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Cast Ranger would not exist without Amazon.
So now we're going to pay our respects and talk about its first three episodes. And Christ, the adventures of Kamen Rider Sonic the Hedgehog bathed in mud are quite a spectacle.
Mud or
now,
blood?
I'm quickly just going to get in. I really like Amazon as a character because it's interesting seeing him throughout these three episodes that, like, he's now in a world that, like, he doesn't know and he's, like, super scared. Like, I'm going to quote one episode quickly where, like, He encounters, like, a dirt bike race, and just all these bikes are just going past, zooming past himself, and he's just, like, scared, confused, and he doesn't know what the fuck to do. I actually thought he was gonna go onto the racetrack and just attack them for no fucking reason.
That would've been awesome.
Like, Kevin was saying that, like, he finds the concept of Amazon boring, but honestly, I find him very interesting as a character, because, like, you know, he's like a child. Like, he just doesn't know, and, like, he has his moments where he's just, like, and he's like trying, and like his best friend's like a little kid, like who like worships the fuck out of him.
My favorite moments in these episodes are where he's talking to the kid, and A, he's way too close to him, and B, he's giving him the most obvious rape face of all time.
And you feel,
hey, hold on. He has spent his entire life in the jungle. He doesn't know what rape is, and he doesn't know what too close is.
No, okay? I know. That's why I will forgive him for it. I just thought it was worth noting.
I especially really felt bad for him when, like, in episode 3, this guy gets attacked by one of the monsters, and then, like, he's at the wrong place at the wrong time where these three, fishermen or something show up, and they actually catch him in front of the body, and they think he's doing it. So they just start fucking attacking him and calling him, like, an idiot and a murderer and stuff. No, just, like,
illegal.
Yeah, it's illegal, but I'm just like, holy shit, like, Amazon's getting treated like shit.
He's in a world that rejects him.
Yeah, and like even like a couple, like a bit of the Makihiko, is that the kid's name?
Masahiko.
Yeah, Masahiko. Like his like other sister was just like, no, Amazon's horrible. Like he got our sister almost killed or whatever and shit like that. And Masahiko's like, Amazon's a good guy.
And even after he gives them an antidote for the poison that their mother or whoever drank.
Yeah, the sister.
Yeah.
It might be poison. She might get double poison.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Friend, neighbor, it was something along those lines. It wasn't actually really.
And you were commenting that the prosthetics for the poison effect she had was actually really
great.
Good.
Oh yeah, no.
For the 1970s, can I just say the special effects on this show are fucking good?
Can we
actually recoiled from the blood.
Talk about the villain? Okay, so the villain is apparently this guy called the Ten-Faced Demon Geddon.
Yeah, let me give points to Decade for updating Jumenki's design, because Jesus, was that thing an atrocity.
Mm-hmm. Also, let me kind of backtrack to something Ichi said. Do you mean blood or good burger sauce?
Some of which caused fire immediately touching the ground.
Hey, first of all, good burger sauce is a yellowish orange. And
yeah,
second,
was that blood?
Only
from
the bad kaijin. From the
bad kaijin
that one time.
Yes,
Most of the other time there was red blood.
Yeah, also...
Amazon gets helped by Grape Nose Boy.
it's stage blood. Like, it's low-budget stage blood. I get it. Not a lot of people know what blood really looks
my,
like.
My favorite monster in these three episodes that we watched, though, was the hands down the praying mantis one. That one was fucking cool.
The one that just killed itself?
The one that... Its fight with Amazon consisted entirely of each of them flailing their arms at each other.
Giving the monster plenty of perfect opportunities to just shank him in the back.
Though? Yeah. I gotta give Amazon props. He's ballsy for just, like, always, like, jumping head in, unhenching, trying to actually fight the monster, and, like, by himself with his raw strength.
Welcome to Showa.
Yeah.
If I may...
Where they don't need to transform their fucking cyborgs.
If I may...
He's barely even a cyborg. They just attached
ancient
the bracelet.
Incan science.
Oh, hold on. Let me just give... Okay, so, like Ichi said, this kid, he washes up in the Amazon, and he's raised by animals, and this one Japanese guy who does surgery on him and for some reason surgically implants a bracelet onto him, because that required surgery.
I know, right?
But for some strange reason, they, like... There's always augmentation into some sort of cyborg or mutant and something like that. In this one, it's ancient Incan science.
While in the Amazon.
I know, right?
By a Japanese man.
I know, right? But at the same time, Incan science. What, are his bones made of gold?
We did hear a lot of, assumedly, bone cracking when he sat up after the operation.
I know, they were running out of celery. The Foley guy's running out of celery!
He has more cracks in his bones than frickin',
the guy with bonitis?
No, than, Black has when he's, like, fucking clenching his fists.
But yeah, in the Amazon, part of their culture is that there are demons and shit like that, and one of them is the ten-faced demon Geddon.
This guy's fucking weird looking. Like, he has this big, poofy, like, red face, and then he has, like...
Normal human faces. Gut.
And by episode, I think it was
episode
either,
three,
yeah,
they
episode
actually
three,
got red face
got,
paid
like,
for them.
Red face paid for them.
I was
which
like,
looks
could you not
afford
it?
Yeah, which looks amazingly better.
Yeah, it does. It improves it vastly. But could you not afford it for the pilot,
like,
and second episode?
This villain is ugly, but I love the concept of him because, like, you have the main head, and then you have nine or ten other, like, faces that are giving their own perspective and judgment, which
one
may change the opinion on the guy on the
one
top.
One of which was always stuttering, I thought was interesting.
So, like, yeah. In the second episode, like, the bat, like, he fails his mission to kill Amazon, and, like, the main guy's just like, no, we're gonna fucking kill you, you failed the mission, and then another guy's like...
While we're on the note of that...
Can we talk about the most successful spider kaijin ever?
Yeah. First episode, the most successful spider kaijin of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Actually got a death count.
Racked up quite the body count in the first episode.
Including the plot character that he was supposed to go there to meet.
Isn't killed by Amazon, is killed by Geddon for his incompetence. And I'm like, this is probably the most competent kaijin I've seen in a Showa series yet.
But
yet you're killing him.
But yeah, like, I like how, just, like, the main guy wants to kill the bat kaijin, but then one of them's like, oh, no, he can still do this, like, give him a chance, and the other guy's like, yeah, give him a chance, and it's like, yeah, okay, and so, like, they all come into agreement.
Spider for less.
Yeah.
Yeah, Christ.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's, episode three, personally, was my favorite, because, like, he develops, yeah, exactly, I didn't recognize him at first, and then when he said his name, I was like, wait a minute, and I look on the poster, I'm like, oh, it's the fucking guy who's, like, always with the Showa writers.
Yeah.
So, apparently, in this episode, Amazon develops a fear for bikes, because, like,
they're
loud, they're noisy, Tachibana's
like, you gonna ride this bike!
He, like, tries to force him to ride this bike he gives him, and Amazon just literally picks it up, throws it into the ocean, and Tachibana's like, oh, this guy's gonna be a fucking, hard piece of work, and then he's like, good thing I prepared another bike just in case this happens.
He pulls a second bike out of his ass, and then races Amazon, who actually holds par with him for most of it.
And then he trips, and then you actually see him, like pound the ground, because he's like, fuck, I failed to beat this machine. And then...
Stupid red shell.
And then Masahiko, who's there too, like, he gets kidnapped by, like, Geddon's two little underlings, who I actually don't like.
The Tassel Twins?
Yeah, they look stupid.
They look like Snowflake.
Yeah, they look like... They look stupid. So they catch up with... they run off with them. And then Amazon's like, shit, fuck it, I'll ride this bike. And then he just starts to ride the bike.
Just drops like, all inhibitions immediately.
And Tachibana's just like, alright, cool. Go do your thing.
Whatever works.
He needed a moment where he came to understand the importance of the bike. He had a mighty need to go fast, and he was like, I really hate this thing, but I have a mighty need to go fast. So, gotta go fast!
I'm hoping his bike gets tricked out later, because, like, I hope it has, like, Amazon-like things where it has, like, a, like you know, like, the scale or whatever on the back of them and stuff. That'd be really cool. But, in terms of Amazon's henshin, I liked it too. It's just like he crosses his arms like, and then he just goes, Amazon! And then you see his eyes glow red, and then it kind of does like this really cool, like, lizard eye effect thing.
It pulls the kaleidoscope effect, where there's like multiples of him zooming out, and in the background you hear it echoing,
Amazon!
And then they manage to somehow capture a perfect four-pointed star of light that takes up the screen, and then it zooms back out, and he's in his form, and then it, like, fades out behind him as he completes his henshin, and I'm like, I've seen worse show of henshins, that's pretty good.
I gotta show respect for being able to get that four-pointed star of light. Like, yeah. That's a light trick.
Yeah.
That's, you gotta position your lamp just right into the lens for that.
And another really cool thing is that Amazon's special main attack is not a rider kick, but it is a downward slash called the super there's the Dicetsodon, and then later on there's the super Dicetsodon.
Yeah.
So it's, like, really cool.
Plus he makes habit of just biting motherfuckers.
Yes, I love that, like, in the figure it's not really shown, but, like, in the opening especially you can see, like, he opens his mouth and there's just teeth, like, razor sharp.
And he takes chunks out of monsters.
Oh, yeah, that's why I love Amazon. I love, like, he just goes ham on people.
Even unhinged in the first episode, he got fucking bloodied up against that monster.
Oh, yeah, no.
Several occasions, he rips limbs off of it.
And, like, Amazon isn't a total dumbass. Like, he knows things, like, he knows how to make medicine, and, like, he knows to heal himself, and, like, he's not a total dumbass. Like, he knows shit, because he lives in the jungle for so long, but just when it comes to, like, Japanese, like, city culture stuff, like, but that's why Masahiko's there, and that's why now Tachibana's here to, like,
I sincerely doubt he's going to be
recording. I love that funny moment where they're, like, sitting down because, like, he got wet and he's, like, taking off his clothes and stuff, and you just see, like, Amazon going, like, ha, and he's like, what the fuck are you looking at, you're naked too, and I'm just like, and then they had, like, a real cute moment together. That was funny.
Yeah,
but overall, like, I love Amazon. He's a cool, badass fucking writer, and he established Super Sentai for us, and I wish they did more with him, but, like, I'm gonna take what I can get, and I'm happy. I have a figure out of him in my room, and I'm so happy to have that figure. I'll always keep it.
He's something of a player in Decade.
Yes, he is!
Also, one other thing we should mention that I never knew about Amazon, that thing on his belt actually is a thing! Yeah. He like pulled it out and it was like a whip or a rope or something, and I'm like,
utility belt.
His belt does a thing?
Oh yeah. No, I love it.
It's not just a wind turbine.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and later on he befriends Decade and he says one of the coolest lines ever. He's like, okay, Decade.
Yeah.
I loved it. But yeah, Amazon is like I said, is hands down my favorite show writer because he's very unique and different from all the other writers, and that's what's cool. We'll never have a writer like Amazon ever again, probably.
Thank God.
Yes, Kevin's just like, thank God.
Yeah, unique enough to get Kamen Rider canceled.
Yeah.
So, and then Stronger saved it.
For its time, though. It wasn't ready for it.
So anyway, so let's go around and... Lane's already done so, but let's go around and give our thoughts on it and if we would continue watching it. Paul.
Okay. I like it a lot. I like the fact... Like, I've heard tell that this was, to a certain degree, what Ishinomori had in mind for Rider in general. Like, he wanted it to be a little darker, he wanted it to be a little bleaker, he wanted it to be a little more violent, but it was a kid's show, so they had a lot of shackles on him for a while. In this one, they gave him the free range to go with whatever the fuck he wanted to do, and he did. And honestly, from an artistic integrity point of view, he took it to places that it's never been. He made it a lot grittier, a lot more real, and at the same time, he managed to still make it a kid's show. It's bloody, it's violent, but you can still tell that it's special effects. And even a child would be able to look at the gore and say, that's not gore, that's not what that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's as intense and as dark as it possibly can be while still being child-friendly. And I think the protagonist was interesting in the fact that he is completely unsocialized. He's got no social graces whatsoever, and all he knows is fighting crime.
That's why I also, like, I think Ishimori had this in mind, that's why he made, like, a child to be, like, Amazon's, like, guide and best friend, so they could, like, relate to children. So it's like, oh!
Teach him about the world through the eyes of a child.
Exactly.
Instead of making it for kids, he was a character who was, like, supported by kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, he was someone they could look up to, but at the same time sort of feel like they could contribute to his characterization. The characters, other than Matsuhiko and Masako, by that I mean the fucking chick who was just like, no, I irrationally hate Amazon, because she's never locked eyes on the fucker, first of all. She's like, she wasn't there for any of it. She's just making assumptions that the weird shirtless, almost naked guy probably did some stupid shit to Masako and isn't to be trusted. I kind of get it to a certain degree, but at the same time, I don't think I would have included a character like that. I think that the apprehension would have been a shorter thing than that for if I would have written it.
You always should have a character that's, like, there's a character who absolutely loves the main character, and then another character who's like, I don't trust you.
But give them a legitimate reason.
Yeah, true.
Give them a legitimate reason, other than, he was there when my friend was really, really hurt, therefore I blame him for it.
You know who she is? She's Gen. I irrationally disagree with you until I spend enough time with you.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I understand that. But you know what? I like it in the fact that it took Rider places that it's never really gone before. And honestly, I think part of it, and part of the reason why he decided to go the Tarzan route, was because I think he kind of wanted to get a little more literary with it.
Yeah,
possibly.
I think he just wanted to go with something a little more high concept. Adapt something that is not a Japanese work and is it's considered a literary classic. So I think he's just sort of going that sort of direction, giving it a little bit more clout.
I think that would have been pulled off a lot better if they didn't actually reference Tarzan.
I understand. Would I watch more of it? Yes. Yes, I definitely would.
Oh, I'm fucking in for sure.
Definitely would. It's a lot of fun. I understand why it was canceled for its time, because I don't know if you've seen kids' shows from the 70s, but the worst they ever were drugged up. And that was just for the druggy parents.
Yeah. The words of Crimson Chin from the 80s.
Not me! I got canceled! Crimson
creepy.
Chin reboot.
I'd watch 80s Crimson Chin.
Yeah.
I know, right? But, I'd watch the shit out of it. It's a really, really cool concept. And
yeah, me, and Evan should just sit down and just fucking watch it the fuck out of Amazon.
Yeah. Kevin, your thoughts?
I didn't like it. I thought quite the opposite of almost everything Paul said. I don't think there was as much thought into it as maybe someone thinks there is.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I thought the character was incredibly shallow because the design of the character. It is the inherent nature of the character to be kind of, like we say, he doesn't know anything, he has no social experience. I feel like giving rhyme or reason to why the character has social detachment doesn't make it okay. I find, like, there's only so long you can do that before it gets boring. Spoilers, that length is 25 episodes.
if that.
Well, exactly. Episode 1 was absolutely atrocious. I thought it was so boring. It did not hold my attention whatsoever.
It doesn't have a good pilot.
You know what? I have to watch 3 episodes of this. That's the material. That's what I'll watch. Nothing got better for me. I felt like everything I watched was, him doing the same thing. If I'm to shed some positive light, the pros that I liked about it, yes, I as an adult watching a show for children, I do appreciate a sense of grit, a sense of darkness, a sense of, yeah, that guy tore that dude open with his teeth. That's cool. It's like you say, the oh-so-obvious draws to Tarzan and the wild ape man so far as them to even say it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of kills and dilutes the tone for me. I guess if I have to respect and appreciate Amazon for what it was, it's like we said, it gave us everything we know today of the tokusatsu genre, as far as getting us into Power Rangers, getting us into Japanese tokusatsu, giving us Sentai. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cause and effect and not the merit of Amazon for why we received these things.
So what you're saying is...
But credit where credit's due.
So what you're saying
my
is...
My favorite part of Amazon was Jew Ranger.
My favorite part of Amazon is that the part where it got canceled and birthed the other thing.
So basically you're saying you respect its legacy but not the work.
Yeah, and it's not like I entirely discredit the work, because yes, the concept is there, but I feel it went no length beyond the concept.
I would agree with you in the fact that the pilot is a little stale. I'll agree with you there. I'll agree with you there. What kind of saved the pilot for me was, as we all said, it's the first kaiju that really ever effectively racks up a body count in the first episode. I mean, it's the spider kaiju, and they're generally considered to be the throwaway first villain. This one racked up a body count, and that was pretty cool.
With acid webbing.
Yes. Also, as far as mooks making annoying sounds like mooks make, these ones were absolutely obnoxious.
Oh my god, everyone in this show makes the same sound!
Hey, at first it was... Rape!
And it's not that they make that sound, it's that it echoes.
Forever!
Mm-hmm. Well, they're beasts. They're beasts.
Just, like, oh my goodness.
They don't really talk, they just shriek, because they're beasts. From the Amazon.
Again,
from Australia.
Because this rhyme and reason doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it entertaining. It's so graining to have to listen to every 5 minutes. I'm just kind of like, shut it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me.
Okay, so...
Would I continue to watch? Absolutely not.
Go stronger.
Yeah, I seem to be more on your page of things, Kevin. I knew going in about the fact that it was basically a mirror of Tarzan. I already didn't like Tarzan going in, and I knew I probably wasn't going to like this. As mentioned, I do respect that Ishinomori, this was an expression of his artistic integrity and freedom and such, and that's very good of him, and I appreciate the fact that this was around in the 70s to push the label. Maybe it needed to be pushed, but the overall theme is not something that appeals to me. I'm not into the whole Jungle Man idea of story. The theme did not appeal to me. I'll give it the same comments I gave Tokuger. There are moments in the episodes that I saw that were awesome, that were entertaining, that caught me. But the fact that I didn't remain conscious for the entirety of the three episodes kind of tells you what you need to know. It didn't hold my attention. And I probably am not going to keep watching. But like I said, I respect it for what it tried to do and the legacy that it put forth. And that's pretty much me. Raven.
I liked it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with Paul here. I agree with the majority of what he said. Just enjoyed it. I just kind of appreciated the special effects for the time that they came from. I mean, as you said, those prosthetics were actually really...
The makeup and prosthetics in this show are leagues ahead, leaps and bounds ahead of their time.
Minus, of course, the face paint on the frigging main villain. But
yeah,
know.
But where it counts.
Yeah.
Where it counts.
Yeah, where it counts is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Transformation sequence, first time was pretty cool.
Yeah, it could have been better, could have been worse.
Yeah.
I've seen worse, like I said, I've seen worse show Henshin. The Henshin was great.
I think for me, the one thing was just, that part where he just rips monsters apart.
Oh yeah.
It's just
fucking amazing.
Oh, hi there. Oh,
why
can't
Ryder be more like
you
this?
You just took off his arm. Yeah, okay.
You're beating him to death with it.
Yep, and we're beating him to death. Cool.
Why can't Ryder be more like this? Stop hitting yourself. Yes, that is the subtitle for that. Stop
Crunch Man, yourself. What do you think of Amazon?
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's cool for its time. Like you said, gotta give props for, you know, effects for what they were back in the day and all that. Would I keep watching it? Probably not, but that's just because, in general, I'm not really a big show or person. Not saying it's bad or anything, just, you know, not really my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. You prefer the advanced special effects of Heisei. And I use that... I say advanced special effects with air quotes that involve my knees.
Not just special effects in general, but just, you know...
The format? Maybe?
Yeah, like I think that's probably more of it. Yeah. I'm just more used to what we've had in the last few years and what I've seen, which is mostly Heisei and Neo Heisei, so... Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the different types of storytelling and the different themes and the different motifs.
It's a bit of a culture shock between that genre divide that that Ryder had when it switched from the Showa to the Heisei genre.
Yeah.
I think it all boils down to everyone's... I think it all boils down to everyone's individual taste of the flavor, because as we saw from watching Stronger, we can definitely find Showa shows that we all enjoy and would all want to keep watching. It all boils down to individual taste.
Yeah, and you know me, respect the source material for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to come out and say it right now, I like more Showa shows than I like Heisei shows.
That's cool.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's just me. And I represent a demographic that is different from all of yours, and it is neither better nor worse. However, for this, I respect the crap out of this show, and I respect the crap out of the Showa aesthetic and storytelling. And that's just me on that. That's just my final thoughts on the show. And
okay, anyone else, any closing thoughts?
Nope.
It was fucking cool!
I should just throw off the TV guy thing I said before the show, which is basically, Kamen Rider Amazon, biting and clawing your way to victory to a whole new level.
Yes.
And my response to that was, Kamen Rider Amazon, taking a bite out of crime. Literally.
I was about to say that.
Literally. Yes. He is the Scruff McGruff of Tokusatsu.
Yeah. And Jumanki, only you can cause forest fires.
With self-igniting napalm.
My blood is napalm!
He was vomiting napalm everywhere.
That's pretty much what I thought it was. It's just napalm that lights itself on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alright, well, thank you, Crunchman, for joining us for another episode.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crunchy Person.
Thank you, we love you, buddy.
And thank you to... And thank you to our lovely cast, our listeners, for joining us for yet another episode of Cast Ranger. As our listeners who check our website will know, we also put up episode 2 of Silver Metal this week, where we talked about Dino Charge. Great series. Looking forward to more of that. As always, you can find both of our shows on the iTunes feed, Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. All of our content goes on castranger.podbean.com. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios, and we have a Cast Ranger Facebook page. Give us comments so Lane can survive.
Comment on things.
Give us comments or we will sick Amazon on you.
He needs a comment transfusion.
Can we just make me one of those like African child like commercial things where you just see me just sitting on the floor, just looking up, just looking very sad, just.
Every 5 minutes that you don't comment on a Cast Ranger podcast, Elaine dies.
We'll get him to send you postcards.
Would you rather see this, a sad face, or this? Just me doing my derpy smile wave I do.
Did you just reference a Cloud 10 movie?
I don't know, did I?
There is an actual Christian movie in which a person miraculously recovers from cancer because of postcards.
Oh my.
Amazing.
Wow. I can't believe it.
Alright.
Paul's just got his head in his hands.
Cloud, in case you didn't realize, Cloud 10 is a Christian filmmaking company, but more on that later.
More on that, not on this
more
show.
More on that on his own show.
Yes. The one that may or may not be coming out next week.
Woo! Yes. Alright. So thanks again to everyone listening, and we will see you next week.
Kiki!
Pachinko.